very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Let me hear the worshipers!
You're listening to the radio broadcast of the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, 720 Millrace Road, Boyce, Louisiana. Pastor Joseph W. Franklin. Sunday school every Sunday morning at 9:45 a.m. Worship and the Word at 11 a.m. And on third Sunday, the Lord's Supper is observed. Wednesday night, prayer meeting Bible study at 6 p.m. And at 7 p.m., choir rehearsal. You can visit us on the web at www.mounttriumphmbc.com. God bless you.
Thank you.
You've been good to us. In this week.
for fresh grace, fresh mercy. Thank you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank God and amen. Luke's Gospel chapter 9. Luke's Gospel chapter 9. And we begin our reading from verse 37. Luke's Gospel chapter 9. But we would be remiss if we did not remind ourselves of MLK Day, amen.
Yes, sir.
We're thankful for what he has wrought in the life of not only African Americans, but all across the world.
Yes, sir.
We are more so grateful for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yes,
and his name is Jesus. I wish I had a witness. Amen. Now it happened on the next day when they had come down from the mountain that a great multitude met him. Suddenly, from the multitude cried out saying, a man from the multitude cried out saying, Teacher, Rabbi, Master, I implore you, I beg you, I beseech you, I urge you, look on my son, for he is my only son, child. And behold, a spirit seizes him and suddenly cries out. It convulses him so that he foams at the mouth. And it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him. So I implore your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse, twisted generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him. Then Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and gave him back to his father. Amen.
What did he
do? I want to talk about a faithless generation. A faithless generation. What does it look like? And here in our text, Jesus calls it like he sees it. Matter of fact, Sister Jevonon, this is really the theme found here in verse 41 of this pericope. Is about faithlessness. Because we do understand that in this arena of Christianity, God calls for faith. And if you're going to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, you got to have faith. Amen. We do understand that the writer of Hebrews tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Yes, we have never seen Jesus Christ, but we believe in him. We've never seen God, but we believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of everyone that diligently seek him. I wish I had a believer. We had somebody, without a shadow of a doubt in our mind, that the pew that we're sitting on, we believe that it will hold. I wish I had a believer. You know, it's amazing how we can believe in some things and believe in some things, but yet we can't believe in the one who created all things. Today we move from the mountaintop where Jesus and the three Omegas were with him, Peter, James, and John. They had been there for the purpose of prayer, and while they were there, two others showed up out of the past. You remember last Sunday, it was the Mountain of Transfiguration. It was Moses and Elijah. And they begin to get happy there. They were sleeping at one point, sleeping at a dangerous time. But somehow before, Moses and Elijah departed, Peter woke up and said, "Oh, Master, it's good for us to be here." And yet while Moses and Elijah was departing from the mountain, the Bible say God the Father showed up. And when he showed up, he showed out. He showed up on a cloud. Help me, somebody. God's presence always is represented somehow, because we understand that man cannot look on God and live. Help me, somebody. He even hid himself and showed Moses his backside. And yet that was enough to confirm and affirm who he was when he showed himself to Moses. But you remember when Moses had been in the presence of God some 40 days, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses, help me, somebody, had to veil his face. Because Moses was so light and Moses' foot was so glowing that they had to set him outside. And so here he is, they're coming down off the mountain. I'm glad that we see this scene, Sister Mary, in verse 37. Because you just can't live for the mountain. Help me, somebody. A lot of us, you know, it's a great thing to be on the mountain. It's a good thing when everything is going well and everything is going good. Somehow we forget that there is work yet in the valley to do. You just can't stay here on the mountain, because when God spoke, he says now to those disciples, "Hear ye him. This is my beloved son. Obey him." Follow him. And the next scene, we see them coming down from the mountain, and we see them coming down back into the valley. Why stay on the mountain when there's work in the valley? How many of you believe there's work yet in the valley? Some of us act and live as though, as Christian disciples, as though God has called us, help me, somebody, to a life of Riley. You know what a Riley is. Sit back, take achieve great things for God. Because our God is a great God. First of all, you see that they come, we find the scene switches from the glory of the mountain to the gore of this young child that was possessed by a demon. First of all, you see here in the text, the desperate father. Notice here in the text, it happened that when on the next day they had come down from the mountain, that a great multitude met him, and in this multitude, suddenly from the multitude, a man cries out. It's a desperate cry for help. Has anybody been there before? Has anybody ever had to cry out desperately unto the Lord? No, maybe you haven't been there yet, but just hold on just a little while longer. Because do you not know that trouble knows all of our address? Trouble knows where you are, and trouble will find you where you are. And prayerfully, it will cause you desperation. And so here we have a desperate father. Here, no doubt, while they were on the mountain, and now his disciples, those other nine, had been confronted by this man. We find that out later in the text, because he tells Jesus that he'd come to them thinking that they would be able to cast out this demon, but they were not successful. They could not. We see his cry of desperation. He yells out in the crowd. Oh, isn't it wonderful to know that wherever you are in your circumstance, that no matter where you are in your situation, that God can still hear your desperate cry. Isn't it wonderful with all the people around you, with everything going on, over 3 billion or so people on planet Earth, that we have a God that can hear your cry? Oh yes, he heard Bartimaeus. When Bartimaeus cried out, he cried out, "Jesus, Master, Son of David, have mercy on me." Maybe you're in a point of desperation in your life even now. It's all right, tell your neighbor, it's all right to cry out. You remember that woman with the issue of blood? For 12 long years, she was desperate enough, after spending all that she had, and still the physicians didn't make her well. Matter of fact, the Bible says she even grew worse. But oh, brothers, when she heard that Jesus was coming, she got in the crowd. Oh, he knows you even in a crowd. She got in the crowd, and she just touched the hem of the fringes, Tyrone, of his garments. She said to herself, "I'll weep. I shall be made whole." Oh, has anybody ever been desperate enough? Maybe you come in this house today on January the 20th of 2019, and you're desperate enough to cry out. Well, you got to understand what made this man desperate. We see in his desperation, we see his crisis. It's right here in the text. It tells us why he cried in verse 30. And he cried out saying, "Teacher, I implore you, look on to cry out to Jesus. Notice, Brother Smith, he cried to the right person. I wish I had a believer here. He didn't cry out to the Romans soldiers. He didn't cry out to any of the dignitaries of that day, but he cried out to Jesus. Oh, brothers and sisters, when you get desperate enough, and when things are not going, you've tried everything. You've tried everybody. Why not try Jesus? Why not cry to the right person? This man is in a crisis. Notice it is his only child is in trouble. Somebody in here got a child in trouble. You need to cry out to the Lord. Oh, somebody's been there with a child in trouble. You need to cry out. Somebody's got a husband in trouble. Somebody's got a wife in trouble. Somebody's got a mother or a father that's going through something. Somebody's got a neighbor that's in a crisis right now. There is nothing too hard for our God. Look what he says to him, Master, teacher, rabbi, I urge you, I beg you. He was desperate for the Lord. Came to the right person. I need pity. I need mercy. My only son, my only child is going through a crisis right here. And I need your hand. Somebody know this. Won't he hear your faint cry? Won't he answer by and by? Grandma say, just a little talk with Jesus will make everything all right. Somebody here know what I'm talking about. You were desperate. You were in a crisis before you went down on your knees. But by the time you went down on your knees, somebody, you understood that everything is going to be all right. Why, Pastor, I'm glad you asked, because he tells us over in Jeremiah, while you are called. I think I got some believers in the house. I'm already answered. I've already heard your cry. Matter of fact, Psalm 40 says that he inclined his ear. Oh, I wish I had a witness. Anthropomorphism, that's giving human features to our God, that he leans on. Songwriter say, hush, hush, somebody call you my name. Secondly, we are not only here, we see the Father's desperation, or the desperate father. We see the demon-possessed child. He has a demoniac spirit. It's right here in the text. The Father tells us that this spirit that he has, it seizes him, and suddenly he cries out, and it convulses him and causes him a lot of difficulties. But we do understand where demons come from. They were once angels who fell when they followed Satan or Lucifer, help me somebody, the head cherub, and they fell and followed him. And so Lucifer becomes Satan, and these angels become demons. They are fallen, and can I tell you, they can't get up. I wish I had a believer here. There is no hope for them, because when we read over into chapter 20 of Revelation, we find that Satan great distress. It may have caused you to stay up all night long. Help me, somebody. Wringing your wrists, even trying to count your sheep. And it looked like sleep just wouldn't come. Anybody been there? Here is a child who's under great agony and great pain. It's an outside influence, an evil influence that's upon the child. And so in the text goes that it even bruises him. And then we see thirdly, not only the demon possession of the child, the desperate father, but you need to see the deficiency of the disciples. I told you earlier, while Jesus was upon the mountain, he left those nine down in the valley. But Jesus had given them authority to not only heal disease, but also to cast out demons. Oh yes, we've gone through that already. They had been commissioned. Now I need to make this clear. There was no power failure, but it was a faith failure. I wish I had a believer here. It was not a power failure, but a faith failure. Matter of fact, they had authority, which is exousia, but they also had dunamis, help me somebody, to bring to pass what they did. But they didn't lack power. What they lacked was faith. Their faith was a faith failure, was a faith deficiency, because our God works off of faith. I have a witness. A lot of things that we may come short on and short of is not because it's available to us, but it's because our faith fails us. We don't have the faith. We lack the faith. Because I tell you, if you have the faith.
You have been listening to the Radio Outreach Ministry of the Mount Triumph Missionary Baptist Church, Pastor Joseph W. Franklin. Come and see us at 720 Millrace Road, Boyce, Louisiana, 71409. Visit us again on the web at www.mounttriumphmbc.com. God bless you.
Everybody's still talking.